Welcome to the audio ministry of Advance Church. You're about to go on an exciting journey into the Word of God with Advance Church and Pastor Bruce Clark. Be prepared to be informed and inspired as God reveals more of Himself to you through His Word. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank You for sending Your Word. Give us hearts to hear and faith to receive the things shared today. Open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things out of Your Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now, here's Pastor Bruce Clark.
Hey, I want to talk to you about one thing that matters. The one thing that matters. The Apostle Paul was not like some modern day so-called apostles who get their titles by choice or by human achievement. The Apostle Paul was made an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, according to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. He said that truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds, in 2 Corinthians 12 and 12. The Apostle Paul, against his better judgment, defended his apostleship, saying these words of the Jews: five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the tithings which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Massenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket, yet I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Yeah. The Apostle Paul was not an apostle in title only, but in experience and in suffering. In addition to these things, people of God, he had to deal with the betrayal of friends. He had to deal with people treating him with indifference, fellow believers accusing him of heresy, and he also had to deal with what he called a thorn in the flesh that God did not remove. Truly, Paul's life reflects the maxim that the price of leadership is lonely. I'm sure, like every true godly leader, Paul desires to give his life away. This was his passion. He wanted to leave this life knowing that he had imparted what God had given to him. Paul knew that success is really succession. That someone must carry the torch. One must raise up others to do as Jesus taught, greater works. Paul must have asked, whom can I give my life to? Who can travel with me on this lonely apostolic journey and receive what God has given me? I can relate to those questions. And so, in an obscure place called Lystra, not known for much of anything, in a town where everybody knows your name and they're not always glad you came, in a place where Paul once stood and was stoned, he discovers a young man by the name of Timothy. He finds a son in the ministry who he later identifies not only as a son, but a brother and a man of God. The text we read reveals how much Paul cared for Timothy. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee, Timothy, in my prayers day and night. Timothy, I greatly desire to see you, being mindful of your tears. I can imagine Paul thanking God for Timothy as he writes this last epistle that Paul wrote. He wrote from a prison cell. I can see him as he's writing to his disciple, his son, with tears. Timothy, the one person that Paul can give his whole life to without holding back. Timothy. Timothy? The headhunters would have rejected Timothy. Timothy would not have gotten invited to the interview. Surely he can't go to the places where Paul is going. Timothy? First of all, Timothy, some would call, unfortunately, a half-breed. He was not a pure Jew. His father was a Greek. We learned that in Acts chapter 16. Some would have disqualified Timothy because of his race. Have you ever been disqualified simply because you were of a certain race? There was something more to Timothy than his race. He had the one thing that matters. Secondly, Paul, how can you choose Timothy? He's a guy who deals with being ashamed. Twice, Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed. Be thou therefore not ashamed of my testimony or the testimony of our Lord, he says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But there was something more to Timothy than his anxiety of shame. He had the one thing that matters. Timothy does not seem to be qualified for an apprenticeship with Paul because he was not, shall we say, robust. According to 1 Timothy 5 and 23, we see that Timothy had stomach problems and other ailments. Paul, how can you take Timothy on these missionary journeys, traveling by sea and rough terrain? Timothy is too frail. But there was something more to Timothy than his frailty. He had the one thing that matters. Have mercy. But wait, if being of mixed blood and anxiety about being put to shame and sickness and frailty is not enough to disqualify Timothy, certainly fear and timidity is. And Timothy had those issues too. So Paul tells him in 2 Timothy 1 and 6 from the New Living Translation, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love. And self-discipline or sound mind. There was something more to Timothy than his fear and timidity. He had the one thing that matters. Time would not permit me to talk about the fact that there is no evidence of Timothy's father ever being around, or that Timothy had to be exhorted to endure good heartedness as a good soldier because he likely was prone to giving in, or that he was concerned with the fact that he was young and had to be challenged. Let no man despise your youth. People of God, Timothy was not the ideal candidate for an apprenticeship with Paul, but he had the one thing that matters. No, the cards were stacked against choosing Timothy. How many of you know it's not how man see you, but it's how God sees you? That if God sees you, it does not matter what you don't have. Bishop Wellington Boone says it this way, it's not what you have, but how much you can handle. If God be for us, who can be against us? Men look at the outward appearance, but God look at the heart. David is like Timothy. He wasn't invited to the party when it was time to choose a king. David didn't even get invited, but God chose him. Peter was crazy. He got everything wrong, from chopping an ear off to trying to tell Jesus what to do. But God chose him. Mary was a homely young virgin from a family that had no name or prestige. But God chose her. She had the one thing that mattered. Jesus was despised and rejected, the Bible says, yet the Father chose him. Don't worry, Timothy. God has chosen you. Paul could have been like the children of Israel when they chose Saul because he was tall and dark and handsome, but he would have missed God. Instead, Paul saw something in Timothy beyond the natural. He knew that Timothy had the one thing that matters. What was it that Paul saw? As a young man who walked with me for about 4 years, and many people said, no, don't ordain that young man. He's not ready. He's got too many character issues. He's got this problem. He's that problem. He's going back to his home country in Malawi. You shouldn't ordain him. He's not ready. But there was something I saw in Chico, the one thing that mattered. What is it that Paul saw in Timothy? I want to tell you, the thing that Paul saw in Timothy was something real. It was not fake. I don't know about you, but I don't like anything fake. Mama, Freddie Dunn used to not like fake flowers. I'm like that. Don't give me any fake flowers. I don't like imitation crab. I can't stand a fake commitment. Don't give me a fake handshake or a fake friendship. Keep it. Don't do anything for me if you don't want to do it. I don't like fake designer clothes. Jeff, I don't like fake jazz musicians. If it's going to be, then let it be real. Give it to me straight. I would that you be hot or cold. I want a yes or a no. Don't play me. Whatever it is, keep it real. If your heart isn't in it, don't give it to me. What Paul saw in Timothy was something real that was not fake. It's okay for me to be that way because my father is this way. David said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. He said, seek me with your whole heart. I don't want it fake. Give me your tithe. Give me your offering. Not grudgingly, not of a necessity. Give it to me out of a real heart. What Paul saw in Timothy was not fake. He saw the one thing that matters. The Bible makes it plain in 2 Timothy 1:5. He said, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that was given to your grandmother and given to your mother. There's something in you. There's a faith in you that ain't fake. I submit to you today that what Paul saw in Timothy was an unfeigned faith, an authentic faith, a faith that ain't fake. And that is the one thing that matters, a faith that ain't fake. It is this faith that causes us to be saved. It is this faith that causes us to be healed. It is this faith that causes us to be delivered, a faith that ain't fake. This is the faith that we are delivered by. This is the faith by which the elders obtain a good report, a faith that isn't faith. Fake is the one thing that matters. The faith that ain't fake has two components. The first component is that it's a faith based upon hearing the word of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That word hearing isn't just like I hear a bird chirping, or I hear a car going by, or I hear a conversation at the next table. That word hearing is that I'm attentively listening to this word. There's something in this word for me that as I listen, as I read, as I study, as this word is coming to me, my heart is open to what God wants to say. That's a faith that ain't fake, a faith that comes through hearing the word. The other component of a faith that isn't fake is a faith based upon doing the word. There are so many of us who have heard and 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 gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and wider and wider and fatter in the spirit, because not only are we called to hear the word, be ye not hearers of the word, but doers also. A faith that isn't fake is a faith that is attentive to the voice of God. I'm listening for your word as I'm reading. There's some kind of instruction in this word for me. I've got something with my child that I don't know how to solve it, so I'm looking in your word to give me instruction. There's something on my job. I'm not quite sure how to do it, so Lord, I'm listening for your word. I need a level of relationship with God that I don't have yet, so Lord, I'm listening for your word. Speak, oh God, into my heart. I want to hear what you have to say. And then I get up and do it, because the Bible tells me that my faith shall stand by the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so as I'm doing the word, he's showing me reality. The word is becoming me and I'm becoming the word. Not like John 1:14. That's a different story. But the word, I'm listening to the word, and the word is becoming a part of my life. And my faith is no longer fake. It's the one thing that matters. Mothers, on Mother's Day, what we need, what our children need, is a faith that isn't fake. A lot of things you can give your children. You can give them education. You can give them money. You can give them exposure. You can send them around the world. But in the times we're living in, there is a faith that is needed that will sustain them, because the challenges they will face are nothing like what we have faced in our time. They need a faith that isn't fake. Faith, as the great Scottish soldier and clergyman George MacLeod stated, it argues that the cross, this faith, this cross is raised again at the center of the marketplace as well as in the church. A faith that recovers the claim that Jesus was not just crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on a town garbage heap, at the crossroads so cosmopolitan that they had to write his name in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. A faith that communicates that Jesus died in the kind of place where criminals talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers gamble. It's a faith that has feet. A faith that points people to Jesus is the thing that matters. As I read this text and I thought about Mother's Day, I thought about what a mom can give a child. I thought about how I'm here because something was put in me as a child.
reason why we're all in this room. You could be in a church somewhere else, but the reason why we're in this room today, because a mom and a grandmother lived a life before me that caused me to say, I've got to have that. They lived a life before me that wasn't fake. And I said as a child, man, that's the kind of life I have to live. Mothers in the room on Mother's Day, I encourage you to be like Lois and Eunice. What Timothy had, what Paul saw, was something that their mothers gave them that was real. A faith. It is not fake. We don't need any more chump Christians. We don't need any more moms who say, well, I'm too busy to study the word. Moms, mothers, mothers, we need you to live a life before God that will inspire your children. Faith ain't fake. Timothy had something on the inside of him that he could not shake. How real is your faith? This week we had to, over the last several weeks, I'm almost done. Over the last several weeks, I didn't want to do all this morning. The last several weeks, we working for this service on Saturday. I want all of you to come. Even if you don't have a heart for Prince George's County, it's your church. This is a seed in Prince George's County. We're doing it as a church. Even if you're not going to be involved, you're settled in Silver Spring, that's fine. But this is a mighty seed, this first service, and I'm exhorting you in the name of Jesus. Make it a part. Put it on your calendar. Be there. Anyway, we're out there. Trying to find a location. Obstacle after obstacle. Nobody wants to do this. No, people we think are going to do it, letting us down. And the tendency in that moment is to say, well, we're going to give up. You know, we'll cancel it. We'll do it another time. But I saw something in my mother as a child. I'm working this thing. God's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to pull it off, but some kind of way God's going to do it. And to this day, that faith is on the inside of me. God said it. It's got to happen. Some place has to open up. It's a faith that ain't fake. Right. And finally, on Friday, Kevin and I prayed for a very specific thing. And you know what happened? God gave us the location. Brothers and sisters, the one thing we need in this hour is a faith that ain't fake. A faith. A faith that has substance. A faith that has been tested. A faith. A faith that has come through the fiery trials and temptations and still remains standing. A faith that comes upon an insurmountable mountain and says, be thou moved. A faith. The old folks saying, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. That kind of faith, a faith that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yeah. A faith that understands that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. A faith that makes lions sleep in your presence. A faith that takes you through the fire and you come out not smelling like smoke. A faith. It's an unfeigned faith, an authentic faith, a faith that ain't fake. It's a faith in a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a faith in a Savior who died for you, who now prays for you in heaven. A faith. It is not fake. Who among us today live in such a way that when the world looks at us and our children who sees the intricacies of our lives day in and day out will say, it was the faith. As Helen Baylor said, I had a praying grandmother. Faith of a grandmother, faith of a mother causes us to stand the test of time. Will you be one to have that kind of faith today? Or will you be one who continues to march down the steady drumbeat of indifference? I believe in this room today there are some people who say, God, I want a faith that isn't fake. I want a faith, oh God, that isn't fake. I want the real thing. I want to be the real thing. Thank you, Mama. Thank you for a faith that was not fake. I'm here today because you didn't just teach me. You lived it. It's a faith that was not fake. Father, we thank you today. Thank you. Come on, stand with me. We thank you today, Lord, for all that have gone before us. We thank you, Lord, for the grandmothers and mothers, Father, who lived the lifestyle of holiness before you, God, that caused us to say, I must believe in the living God. Father, we thank you, God, that we're standing today on the shoulders of Loises and Eunices, Father God, who stood in the prayer closet and prayed for the children and called our names out, oh God, until we turn to you. We thank you, oh God, that we stand today upon the shoulders of many who cried the name of Jesus on our behalf. Now, Lord, we pray that in our generation we would not let them down. Father, let us stand strong in the spirit of faith in this day and time. We ask you, oh God, for a faith that ain't fake. We ask you, oh God, for an unfeigned faith that you might see it in us and that, God, we might give it to other people. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus had this kind of faith. When he was in that Garden of Gethsemane, oh God, and he could have turned around, he had a faith in his Father. When he was on that cross, oh God, he cried out to you, oh God, because he had a faith in his Father. And we thank you, oh God, that when he went down into the grave, God, you arose, he arose with all authority and all power in his hands. And we thank you today that he's still, oh God, interceding for us, praying for us, that God, we might become the sons and daughters of God that you called us to be. Thank you, 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 thank you. Come on, let's worship him for a moment. If you had a mother or a father who prayed for you, you just need to thank God. Thank God. Thank God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, magnify your name. Just lift your voice to the Lord.
We magnify your name, Jesus, for an unfeigned faith, a faith that will stand the test of times. We give you glory. We thank you, Jesus, for our inheritance this morning. For our inheritance this morning. Faith unfeigned. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. For a faith that will stand the test of time. For a faith that will stand the trials of life. For a faith that leads us into dimensions of glory. For faith that releases ministry. For faith that releases strength.
We pray that you've been inspired by the message shared today and have become even more aware of the purpose God has for your life. You're always welcome to join our service. We'd love to see you on Sundays at the AFI Theater in downtown Silver Spring, 8633 Colesville Road, near the intersection of Georgia Avenue. To find out more about the amazing things God is doing through Advanced Church, please visit our website at www.advancedchurch.org. And remember, it's your time to advance.